Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gyanam yari tadadadat katamaksa divas. Trikalikam stira chari shanuvartitam shah. Tang jiva karma padavim anuvartamanas. Tapa trayo pashamanaya vayam bhajima. Gyanam yadi tadadadhat katamaksa divas. Trikalikam stira charishvanuvartitam shah. Tam jiva karma padavi manuvartamanas. Tapa trayo pashamanaya vajamba jima. Knowledge. Yat. Which. Etat. This. Adadat. Gave. Katamoha. Who other than. Saha. That. Devaha. The personality of Godhead. Trikalikam. Of the three phases of time, stira charishu, in the inanimate and animate objects, anuvartita, dwelling, amshaha, his partial representation. Tam, unto him, jiva, of the jiva souls, karma padavim, the path of fruitive activities, anuvartamana, who are pursuing, tapatraya, from the threefold miseries, upashamanaya, for getting free, vayam, we, bhajima, must surrender. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. No other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the localized Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord, is directing all inanimate and animate objects. He is present in the three phases of time, past, present, and future. Therefore, the conditioned soul is engaged in different activities by His direction. And in order to get free from the threefold miseries of this conditional life, we have to surrender unto Him only. Purport. Actually, first I'll read the Hindi translation. Anuvad. Bhagavan ke amshika swarup antaryami paramatma ke atirikta और कौन समस्त चर तथा अचर वस्तुओं का निर्देशन कर रहा है। वैकाल कि इन तीनों अवस्थाओं भूत वर्तमान तथा भविष्य में उपस्थित रहते हैं, अतः भद्र जीव उनके ही आदेश से विभिन्न कर्मों में रत है और इस भद्र जीवन के तीनों तापों से मुक्त होने के लिए हमें इनकी ही शरण ग्रहण करनी होगी। Purport. When a conditioned soul is seriously anxious to get out of the influence of the material clutches, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated within him as Paramatma, gives him this knowledge. Surrender unto me. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, give up all other engagements, just surrender unto me. It is to be accepted that the source of knowledge is the Supreme Person. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. The Lord says, through me one gets real knowledge and memory, and one also forgets through me. To one who wants to be materially satisfied, or who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord gives the opportunity to forget his service and engage in so-called happiness of material activities. Similarly, when one is frustrated in lording it over the material nature and is very serious about getting out of this material entanglement, the Lord from within gives him the knowledge that he has to surrender unto him. Then there is liberation. This knowledge cannot be imparted by anyone other than the Supreme Lord or his representative. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya instructs Rupa Goswami that the living entities wander in life after life, undergoing the miserable conditions of material existence. But when one is very anxious to get free from the material entanglement, he gets enlightenment through a spiritual master and Krishna. This means that when the living entity is serious, This means that Krishna as a supersoul is seated within the heart of the living entity, and when the living entity is serious, the Lord directs him to take shelter of his representative, a bona fide spiritual master. Directed from within and guided externally by the spiritual master, one attains the path of Krishna consciousness, which is the way out of the material clutches. Therefore, there is no possibility of one's being situated in his own position unless he is blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless he is enlightened with the supreme knowledge, one has to undergo the severe penalties of the hard struggle for existence in the material nature. The spiritual master is therefore the mercy manifestation of the Supreme Person. The conditioned soul has to take direct instruction from the spiritual master, and thus he gradually becomes enlightened in the path of Krishna consciousness. The seed of Krishna consciousness is sown within the heart of the conditioned soul. And when one hears instruction from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies, and one's life is blessed. जब बड़ जीव माया के चंगुल से छूटने के लिए उत्सुक रहता है, तो उसके अंतकरण में स्थित परमात्मा स्वरूप भगवान उसे यज्ञान देते हैं, मेरी शरण में आओ। जैसा कि भगवान भगवद गीता में कहते हैं, अन्य सारे कार्यों का परित्याग करके मेरी शरण ग्रहण करो। यह मानना होगा कि ज्ञान का स्रोत परम पुरुष है। भगवद गीता में इसकी पुष्टि होती है, मतक स्मृतिर ज्ञानम अपोहनम च। भगवान कहते हैं, मेरे ही द्वारा मनुष्य वास्तविक ज्ञान तथा स्मृति प्राप्त करता है और मुझी से विस्मृति भी मिलती है। जो मनुष्य भौतिक दृष्टि से संतुष्ट होना चाहता है या जो प्रकृति पर अधिकार जताना चाहता है, भगवान उसे अपनी सेवा की विस्मृति तथा भौतिक कार्यकलापों के तथाकथित सुख का अवसर प्रदान करते हैं। इसी प्रकार जब जो इस प्रकृति पर अधिकार करने में हताशा हो सकता है और भवबंधन से छूटना चाहता है, तो भगवान उसे भीतर से यह ज्ञान प्रदान करते हैं कि वह उनकी शरण में जावे, तभी उसकी मुक्ति होगी। यह ज्ञान भगवान या उनके प्रतिनिधि के अतिरिक्त अन्य कोई प्रदान नहीं कर सकता। चैतन्य चरितामृत में भगवान चैतन्य रूप गोस्वामी को उपदेश देते हैं कि जीव जन्म जन्मांतर घूमता है और संसार के कष्ट भोगता रहता है, किंतु जब कोई भवबंधन से छूटने के लिए अत्यधिक उत्सुक रहता है, तो उसे गुरु तथा कृष्ण से प्रकाश प्राप्त होता है। इसका यह अर्थ हुआ कि कृष्ण परमात्मा रूप में प्रत्येक जीव के हृदय में स्थित है, और जब जीव वास्तव में उत्सुक होता है, तो वे उसे अपने प्रतिनिधि प्रामाणिक गुरु की शरण ग्रहण करने का आदेश देते हैं। गुरु द्वारा भीतर से निर्देशित होकर तथा बाहर से पथ दिखाए जाने पर मनुष्य को कृष्ण भक्ति का मार्ग प्राप्त होता है, जो भवबंधन से छूटने का मार्ग है। अतः जब तक भगवान का आशीर्वाद नहीं मिलता, तब तक कोई अपने वास्तविक पद पर स्थित नहीं हो पाता। जब तक उसे परम ज्ञान द्वारा प्रकाश प्राप्त नहीं हो लेता, तब तक उसे इस जगत में जीवन संघर्षण के लिए कठिन यातनाएं झेलनी पड़ती है। अतः गुरु परम पुरुष की कृपा का प्राकट्य होता है। बड़जीव को गुरु से प्रत्यक्ष आदेश प्राप्त करने होते हैं और इस प्रकार धीरे धीरे वह कृष्ण भक्ति के मार्ग पर अग्रसर होने लगता है। कृष्ण भक्ति का बीज बड़जीव के हृदय में बोया जाता है, और जब मनुष्य गुरु के उपदेश सुनता है, तो यह बीज फलित होता है और जीवन धन्य हो जाता है। First thing to recognize is that we are conditioned. We are entrapped by a maya, and we are suffering from illusion. If we don't acknowledge this, then we're not going to try even to correct ourselves. So first thing is to acknowledge to honestly and humbly admit one's fallen condition. Then there's hope, but then one must follow the proper method. Okay, I'm in suffering in material life, I'm illusioned, I'm conditioned. Now what do I do? Knowledge is required. The first word in this verse is Gyanam. Knowledge is the sadhana for mukti. Liberation from our suffering, from our entanglement, is gained by knowledge, but what knowledge? And that knowledge is to be gotten from where, from whom? These are the important questions. And they're answered in this verse and Prabhupada's purport on it. Prabhupada says it must be received from the Supreme Lord or his representative only. It cannot be gotten. The right knowledge, the appropriate knowledge, cannot be gotten from any other source. We talk about empirical knowledge. This is the stuff of science. You look with your own eyes, you test it for yourself, you prove it scientifically. Even if someone else discovered, he has to give you a way that you can retest it for yourself. It must be experimentally verifiable. That's what we call science. It means you must decide for yourself. You're the ultimate. You are the ultimate judge. But that kind of scientific, or what we call empirical investigation, is inadequate for the knowledge that is required for freedom, for liberation. Of course, if you have a different idea of liberation, then maybe you can have a different kind of knowledge. If you think liberation is throwing off the yoke of the oppressors of your country, just like the Bangladeshis thought that by fighting for their national freedom, they would have mukti. So they called Mukti Bahini, the liberation struggle. It's just copied from other Vietnamese liberation struggle, Cuban liberation, so Bangladeshi liberation struggle, Mukti Bahini. But just kicking out the Pakistanis didn't get saved the people from getting slaughtered, but it didn't give them mukti, real mukti. So there are still 500 million Bangladeshis, and they're not liberated. They're still entangled in material life. They're suffering. Because I read some statement somewhere, although Bangladesh is one of the poorest countries in the world, they had a rating of which peoples in which countries are happier. And they found out the Bangladeshis are the happiest people in the world. Technically the poorest, but also the happiest. You figure that. So, okay, they're nice, you know, they're happy people, but they're not enjoying mukti. Bangladesh is not Vaikuntha. So what they call mukti is a different thing. And the knowledge how to get a gun and how to shoot it, that is different knowledge. That liberation is different. It's not the real liberation. And women's liberation, and this liberation, that liberation, we're talking about real liberation. The liberation of not having to take birth again. Of not having to suffer the embarrassing constraints imposed on us by the material nature. Not to have to go to school and pass a test. Not to have to go to the toilet. So many embarrassments. Not to be harassed by your wife, by your parents, by your children. Not to suffer so many embarrassments. That is mukti. To live in the spiritual world, free and happy. Actual happiness, actual unlimited freedom. For that you need the right kind of knowledge. And that correct knowledge must be gotten from Krishna. The Supreme Lord is the original source of all transcendental knowledge. Matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. It's from me alone. That real knowledge, remembrance of who you are, comes. And it's also from me that your current ignorance came and your forgetfulness. Matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. And that means from me and only from me. But Krishna can deputize. The knowledge is coming from Krishna, but he can have someone else deliver it. Just like my mother may send me some money for my birthday, but she's 10,000 kilometers away. She's too old to come to India again. She probably won't come here again. She's almost 80 years old. So she didn't send me any money for my birthday anyway. I'm just theoretically. But suppose she sent me money for my birthday. She'll have to put it in the mail. Demands draft and put it in the mail. And then the mailman. Of course, in Govardhan, they don't bring me my mail if I don't pay him a bribe. But suppose the mailman, this is just a theoretical, suppose the mailman actually delivers the letter. So he gave me the money. He's authorized agent of the post office. My mother trusts that she sends the check by mail, it gets to me. Through agents, through deputized, authorized agents. But the money is coming from my mother. It's her money. The postal peon, he doesn't have that much money. He doesn't have any American money. So my mother sent the money, but through some agent. Like that, Supreme Lord is giving all the knowledge. He's personally present as Paramatma in everyone's heart. So he can. He can come to India. He can come to Los Angeles as Paramatma. He doesn't need a visa or an airplane ticket. He's appearing without any transportation cost, without any visa restrictions. He's entering everybody's heart all over the universe. Personally. So he's personally giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. When Krishna says, Matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha, what form of Krishna is he talking about? In what form does Krishna do this? Give knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. You think Krishna is going to every living entity, you know, Bala Gopala, and hitting them on the head with his flute to wake them up? Maybe some very fortunate living entity, but normally the conditioned souls, they reciprocate with Krishna only in the form of Paramatma, in the heart, and who is generally unseen by anyone who is not a very advanced yogi. Invisible Paramatma, little voice in their mind. Oh, you have to get up now. It's 6:30 in the morning. That noise is your alarm clock. And you're Bhakta Joe. You have to get up and go to Mangal Arati. Super Soul has to remind him who he is and what he has to do. Every morning, Super Soul does this. Remembrance comes from the Super Soul. We don't have an operating system like a computer. The memory has to come from the Super Soul. Matak. Krishna says that. That means that we can't do it ourselves. We can't even remember in the morning who we are and what I'm supposed to do now. Here I am laying in the bed. I think I'm supposed to get up and do something, but I can't remember what it is and who I am. If the Super Soul did not tell us, we wouldn't know. This is your left foot. This is your right foot. Put it in front of that and then put the other one in front. He reminds us how to walk when we get up in the morning. So we're completely dependent on the Super Soul for even our simple material knowledge and remembrance. That's how Krishna is directly reciprocating with every one of us living entities. And then also, he backs that support up with more from the outside. The spiritual master is a devotee of Krishna, who Krishna has authorized as his agent. Some devotees don't get that authority. Krishna spares them. Not every devotee has to be a spiritual master, thank God. But some he picks out, okay, I'm giving you this disciples. You're my representative. You have to be my substitute for them. You give them the knowledge. Because they're foolish living entities. Super Soul is talking, but they're not listening. Super Soul has been giving instructions, surrender unto me, surrender unto me, surrender unto me, and nobody wants to surrender. They just use the Super Soul for guidance and where to get their selfish sense gratification. Prabhupada gave the example in the First World War in Europe. The English mothers who sent their sons to the war were praying, please, kill all the Germans and send our British sons home safe. But in Germany, the mothers were also going to their churches and praying to the same God. Same God. Please kill all the British boys and send our German boys home safe. So Prabhupada's comment is, God is in a quandary. He's perplexed. What is he supposed to do? So he ended up killing most of all of them anyway. Yeah. Just to satisfy everybody. But that's the Super Soul is stuck. People are, the living entities are using him, exploiting him for selfish purposes, and usually it's contrary to someone else's purpose. He's trying to give spiritual guidance so people can be happy and so they can live together peacefully. There's no First World War in Vaikuntha. It was limited to the earth. It didn't flare up in Vaikuntha. There's no terrorist problem in Vaikuntha. Because people are happy and peaceful there. They don't fight with each other. That's what it means, Vaikuntha. How can you have no anxiety if you're fighting with your neighbors? Fighting with your own family? Fighting with yourself inside your mind? You can't be happy. So Vaikuntha means happy and peaceful. That means no fighting. No material fighting. Maybe some play fighting. For pleasure, there may be some fighting. Lord Narayan has an army. The commander of the army is, what's his name? Vishwaksena, general of the army. And they go out and fight. I don't know who the enemy is. They go out the gates of Vaikuntha, have a big fight, and come back victorious. Just for pleasure. But there's no real fights. Even the enemies don't appear there. The demons don't appear there in Vaikuntha. They're worrying about them and having some pleasure thinking about the demons are coming. But they never come. There's never need to actually kill anybody. That's Vaikuntha. No suffering, no anxiety. But we're not in Vaikuntha. We're suffering. We need to start listening to the Super Soul. And he's, because we never listened to him, he sent his representative also. Representatives. Gurus, other Vaishnavas, sadhus, shastras. They're all telling us, listen to Krishna, he's trying to talk to you. Just like someone comes and says, you have a phone call. Your god brother is calling you on the phone. So thank you for telling me, otherwise I would have missed the phone call. Like that, the guru is telling you, you have a phone call from Krishna. Can you listen? Can you talk to him? Super Soul is trying to talk to you. So the guru says, Super Soul is talking to you. Please listen. Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is telling us in the purport, Krishna says, surrender unto me. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. So I didn't know that. When I went to school, they didn't teach us Bhagavad Gita in my school. Any of it. And maybe you learned it in school, but you learned it in the Mayavadi school. And they taught you some crazy thing. They taught you karma eva adhikaraste. You have a right to your material duty. They picked that out of context. And didn't tell you sarva dharmam parityaja. Maybe they did. Maybe your school they did. But my school, they didn't even tell us there was a Bhagavad Gita. In American school, you're not allowed to teach any religion. No religion at all. So they told us, don't surrender to anybody. That's what they taught us. If you want to have some God, that's your business, but we're not going to teach it to you in our school. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Shri Krishna Balaram, Giriraj Ki Jai, Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. So we need to be re-educated. They didn't teach us, they didn't teach me Bhagavad Gita in the school. I never heard this until Prabhupada told me. Prabhupada told me, look, here's the Bhagavad Gita. I translated it for you. So you can understand it. You don't know any Sanskrit. Here is in your English. And I'm telling you, Krishna told you in the Gita, although you have to read to the back, but in the back of the Gita, Krishna says, give up all your other nonsense and just surrender to me. So I didn't know that, that Krishna said that, that Krishna's trying to talk to me until Prabhupada told me. Thank you, Prabhupada. You know, this is the purpose of the Guru, to let us know Krishna is trying to talk to us, and then we can listen. I'm the Super Soul. The Guru is my representative. It would do us some good to listen to them. Then we can have real knowledge. And then we can have freedom from birth and death and eternal happiness. We don't have to remain suffering. We don't have to. There's no reason to. We just have to take guidance. Well, Prabhupada says here in the last paragraph, beginning, therefore there is no possibility of one's being situated in his own position unless he is blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Self-realization means to assume your own position, not to become somebody else or something different than you already are. It means to become correctly what you are. Stop trying to be something different and be what you actually are, Krishna's servant. Sarva dharmam parityaja. Give up all your other ideas of what you think you are and just be Krishna's pure devotee. Who cares how important you are? How powerful, how knowledgeable, how rich you are? Krishna is not impressed by that. Krishna is impressed if you have some loving attitude for service. Rich or poor, smart or stupid, it doesn't matter. It only matters to foolish people in the material world. It doesn't matter to Krishna. What matters is the devotion. How much do you care for Krishna? How much do you want him to be happy? We should be grateful. Krishna has given us everything. He's giving us our knowledge, our remembrance, and our forgetfulness, and he puts the food in our plate that we eat every day. It's Krishna's prasadam. We should be thankful and want that Krishna. Let Krishna be happy then. He's making us, he's giving us everything we have. Why don't we try to give something back to him? That's the attitude of a devotee. So what we need, but what Prabhupada said in that sentence, is we need to get Krishna's blessings. Then we can achieve self-realization, become what we really are, his servants. But we have to be blessed by Krishna to get that. Best way to get blessed is if your guru or somebody who's dear to Krishna puts in a request for you. Krishna, please bless this boy. He's trying to be your servant. Then we're successful. Get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Krishna will respond by giving his blessings. Get the blessings of the Vaishnavas by pleasing them. But the Vaishnavas don't take bribes. You cannot buy him with something material. You have to show a real honest, humble attitude. Then the Vaishnav will be pleased and say, yes, may Krishna please bless you. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu, please.
Even though we have the knowledge that women are just Krishna's energy, that their bodies are made out of material elements.
Yes.
But yet, sometimes we see, even in the Holy Dharma, a strong attraction to young, beautiful women, which is
okay.
A disturbance.
Yes.
Both to us and to the women.
Yes.
So, is there some, in spite of having the knowledge, like you're saying here, you have that
yes.
knowledge that you can be free from the flesh and mind, but the knowledge doesn't seem to be...
Well, that's theoretical knowledge then. It's not fully realized.
Yes.
Fully realized means you could look at a woman and not be attracted, but that's pretty advanced.
So how do we get to that?
well, that get satisfy the Vaishnavas and get Krishna's blessings, then we can become detached. But that won't necessarily happen so quickly. So really we have to ask, what do we do in the meanwhile? How do we avoid getting in trouble in the meanwhile? In the holy dham, therefore, better that the men and women don't associate too closely. You know, while in the holy dham, while visiting the holy dham, better, you know, put aside your ordinary material things as much as possible. Don't be here for sightseeing, for shopping. Of course, you have to do some, but you know, we have to avoid the ordinary things that are just normal in the material world, but really don't fit in the spiritual world. You know, there isn't supposed to be any sexual activity here among the pure devotees. There isn't supposed to be any commercial activity. So we should, you know, sort of take a break from them while in the holy dham, so the mind can be a little peaceful. And, you know, if there's a place where, you know, you know, beautiful young women are promenading back and forth, maybe avoid that place. You know, don't, you know, keep your eyes to yourself as much as possible. You know, because Maya will try to disturb our visit here in various ways, whatever, and she's economical. She'll just use whatever energy she has to use to get to cause disruption to a particular person. You know, she doesn't send an apsara to attract a pig. You know, she sends a female pig. That's good enough to attract the pig. You know, only for the yogis does she send apsaras, or Indra sends. So Maya is economical. She only expends as much energy on an individual as she has to. But for each one of us, she knows what can get us, and she sends it. And it's her duty throughout the material universe, including the holy dham. And in fact, the holy dham is there's yoga maya. And yoga maya is one of her functions in the holy dham, is to keep unfit people out. You know, or when materialistic people come, to see that they don't actually enter the dham, they sort of float on the surface. So when the dham is commercialized, when there's opportunity for sense gratification, for sexual agitation and other things, that's part of yoga maya's business, to put up a smoke screen so that materialistic people don't actually enter the dham. We have to not get into that smoke screen. That's for materialists, not for us. You know, if Vrindavan is so commercialized and there's young men and women doing things that they shouldn't be doing in the holy dham, that's their problem. We should step aside and avoid that environment. Okay. If you live here, it becomes even more difficult, because you're not here for a short time. You have to set up your life in such a way that you're not having to, you know, confront these material distractions. You have to avoid them. But for someone who's just visiting, then he has to be careful while he's here. Because Maya is still trying to test us the way she tests us back home. She's testing us here also. And she has a special job to not give permanent entrance to anyone who's not fully fit, and to therefore put obstacles in the path, in our paths. You know, or we get sick, people annoy us. These things are actually things put there by yoga maya to test us. Are we really ready to be here? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Is it already answered? Or? Okay. Okay, we'll stop then. Thank you. Om Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.